Great. Well, good morning, everyone, and great to be able to share the Word of God this morning, and I'm looking forward to God speaking to us and working in us and us being able to just continue to engage with Him then as we worship together and we break bread together this morning. And over the next five Sundays, we're going to be continuing, that's not including this Sunday, over the next five Sundays, we're going to be continuing our series in Ephesians. But this morning, I'm wanting just to set a bit of a tone for our 40 days. And so I'm going to be talking in a moment about rooted, pruned, and fruitful. And if you've got your Bibles, you might like to turn to John chapter 15. Rooted, pruned, and fruitful. And as we begin to sort of have that in mind, I just want to flag one thing, which is many of you will know, certainly if you were engaged in the autumn, you will have picked up that I have the privilege, and it is an amazing privilege, that from April through till June, I am going to be going on sabbatical. And so I feel incredibly privileged to be doing that. We've talked about it as a church for quite a number of years, and it's never felt like quite the right time. But it is going to happen. And so from April to June, you won't see me in this sort of context or in church-type context. Hopefully, I'll connect with different people relationally, and but not in a church context. And I am believing that God's going to do something significant over that time. And I just want to say to everyone as a church how grateful I am that that actually I've got this opportunity, and I'd really, really value your prayers. I've been in full-time ministry now for nearly 27 years. I know, I don't look nearly old enough. That's what you're meant to be looking and thinking, oh, surely not. But I've never had an opportunity like this, and it feels like a real privilege. And I've got, I guess, three main aims. One is rest, that I will live at a different pace, that element of Sabbath, of a sabbatical, will be there. That the chance to live at a different pace, probably have more evenings with the family, et cetera, et cetera, is a real gift. We've got a couple of holidays within that time, and we're really looking forward to that. The second is renewal. I've got my three R's, if that's helpful for you. The second is renewal, I genuinely am believing that there's something significant about stepping away from responsibility and ministry to be able to focus on my own personal spirituality. And after a bit, it can get slightly confusing. Am I doing this in order to have my next talk? Am I doing this in order to be able to lead effectively and because I'm looking for God's blessing in all that I'm... Or is this just about my own walk with the Lord? And I trust that it'll be an opportunity for me to rediscover Him in different ways. And I'm going to try and drink from different wells and go into lots of different contexts and just allow myself to touch the heart of God afresh and be touched and changed by Him. And thirdly, it's about reflection and the chance to reflect on the last 27 years, try and say, what can I learn from understanding more of who I am and who I'm not? And how can I best posture myself for the next 27 years or however? Because one of the things I felt God say to me particularly is it's a bit like it's half time. And so it's coming into half time, but it's not like, I didn't feel God wanted me to be postured in a way whereby, let's say you've, you know, a team has scored a few goals and then they come in for half time and the manager says, okay, now let's just shut up shop and try and defend what we have. I felt in particular, the word God's given me that I want to hold on to throughout this sabbatical is multiplication. And to be looking to think about how I can be postured in the second half of my ministry for multiplication. And so I'm wanting to reflect on my own leadership, think about how I can be most fruitful and postured best personally to lead you as a church family and to serve the purposes of God in the best possible way. So I would really, really value your prayers. Pray that it would be a time where I am, as it were, rooted deep, more deeply into Him. That there is some pruning, probably, but it is for fruitfulness. And I believe that's the heart of God for me during the sabbatical. I believe it's the heart of God for us over the 40 days, and I'm going to come to that in 1 minute. It's probably just worth saying, though, just so we're aware and we're clear, the plan is, what I would be most thrilled about is that there's a real sense, when I come back at the start of July, that there's a real sense of momentum in the life of the church. And there's certainly not meant to be any sense whereby, oh, well, everything's just on hold for 3 months. All right, Alistair will be steering the team and leading the team and taking responsibility throughout those 3 months. And Emma will be stepping back from the leadership team over those 3 months because it's a bit hard for her to come back from meetings and various things and not engage with me. And I'm trying to be free from some of those things. But we've obviously got 14 great people on the leadership team who will be continuing to lead the church forward over that time. So just in case there's any question about that, no, full steam ahead. So I hope, just as I say, thank you for that privilege and opportunity and would really value your prayers. And if you want to find out more of exactly what I'm going to be doing, obviously very happy to talk to you more personally about that. So if you've got your Bibles, John chapter 15, many of you know that as a leadership team, we feel that God has been getting our attention, that he doesn't want us to settle with where we're at, that in some ways, I trust it's a healthy dissatisfaction, sense of God wanting to say, no, there's more I've got for you. I want there to be a greater sense of fruitfulness that he wants us to step into. And as we look forward, we are making a number of changes as to how we do things in order to try and embrace some of that. But there is no question that we can change all sorts of stuff structurally. But most of all, what God wants to do is change us personally. And he wants to get hold of our hearts. And so I think that when we set out, we were aware of, all right, we're going in this sort of direction. We felt like there was something really important about taking the opportunity that Lent gives us to say, Lord, we're looking to you to do something new in us. Not just, oh, for 40 days and then that's it. This is not meant to be a peak that we reach. It's meant to be a stepping stone into more of what God has for us. And we absolutely clear believe it's in his heart for all of us, not just the odd individual, not just Sean and Helen leading the way and a few others that get a bit excited, but us as a whole Life Church family to embrace this opportunity and say, here's 40 days. And if you haven't quite started yet, well, it's not too late to start. To say, look, do you know what, Lord, we're looking for you to do a work in our hearts and our lives. We believe you want to meet with us in a new way. It's an opportunity for all of us to set ourselves apart from different things in order to go deeper and further in Christ. And so I want to read these verses as we posture ourselves in that way. John 15, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches, Jesus says. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. I was quite encouraged on Wednesday night. If you were at Breathe, I'd already felt like God had given me this to speak on, and this was the right thing to be speaking about. At the end, we had some of the guys from Bury were here, and they were part of what we did on Wednesday night. And two of them, Nigel and Dave, both brought a sort of prophetic word, which in essence was all about the roots going deeper so that reach can go further. That if we were going to be a big tree, then the roots needed to go down deep in order to go further. And I heard that quite clearly. And I believe there is something that God is wanting to say to us, that as we root down further, it will enable us to reach out further as well. So what's going on underneath the ground is really, really significant. Jesus made it absolutely clear. You are just the branches. I am the vine. And us being properly rooted in him and remaining in him is absolutely crucial. And the fact that he says that seems to mean that he doesn't assume people just will remain in him, that maybe they'll just go off and do their own thing and lose sight of him. But of course, you won't bear much fruit. In fact, you won't bear any fruit if you don't remain in him. A few weeks ago, I was doing some stuff on our hedge at the bottom of our garden. And I thought this morning, because I was just thinking about this, I thought, I'm just going to go out and look and see if there were any things that I cut that I didn't clear up properly and put in our bin. So I went in and there was just obviously bits that I'd not pulled out of the hedge. And by then, you see, this was a few weeks ago, it became obvious because, you see the contrast? That actually, and no doubt, had I done this in June, the contrast would have been much more obvious, of course, as well. But this one was probably cut about 3 weeks ago. It's not been joined to anything, but it's just remained in the hedge, but not joined. And you can see, over those last 3 weeks, no life has flowed at all. It is dead, dying, and over time, it's just good enough to be thrown away and burned in the fire, as Jesus says. This one, I cut this morning. It, over the last 3 weeks, has been properly joined. It looks very different, doesn't it? You can't tell right at this moment, because it was only a few hours ago. But if I went back and put this in the hedge, and I went and got it 3 weeks later, but it was no longer joined, you know what it'll look like. It's never, ever going to produce life again. And, oh, sorry. And it's possible, isn't it, for us to be in certain contexts, but not joined to Christ. You can be here this morning. You can be in the hedge, as it were, but it's not just about being here. It's not just about being in a meeting. It's about being joined to Christ. He's the one that he wants to call us to be rooted into him, to know him, to have that living, real relationship with him. It's all about him. And he set the example for us. Jesus, I think, in his ministry, and if we could just go on to the triangles, Fiona, that would be great. In his ministry, I think if you look at it, which way are you looking? Yep, so the one on the left reflects what I think is like Jesus' ministry. And the line is meant to be what you don't see. It's underneath. It's in the private. And the above the line is in the public. What you see is Jesus often withdrawing to lonely places to spend time with his Father. He just, whatever else was going on, you just see again, and Mark's gospel is a great example of this because it comes so fast and immediately, boom, boom, boom. And just quickly, it just makes little comments. And he withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. He went up on a mountainside to pray. Wherever he found ways of spending time with his Father, there was a solid foundation to all that he was doing. It was really significant. The danger is that for many of us, it's exactly the opposite way around. That actually, we're more like the one on the right. And most of the stuff we do is all in the public, and it's all about that. And what's going on underneath is very minimalistic. And that leaves us very vulnerable, doesn't it? I know which one looks more solid to me. And I believe that over these 40 days, there's an opportunity for us, as it were, to try and see that shift a little bit and to build the base of what's going down underneath. To begin to allow the roots to go deeper, and maybe we can go on to the next picture. Because What grows above is dependent on what's growing below. And certainly how secure what's growing above is dependent on what's in the ground, what's underneath, what no one else sees. And my prayer is that we won't just, as a church, have nice gatherings on a Sunday. We won't just, as a church, try and come up with, we're going to do this a bit differently and do that a bit differently. I know the heart of God is that he would so grip our hearts that we fall in love with him, we get caught up with him, we just want to go deeper and deeper into him. It's not just about more and more activity. Activity will come, but it comes out of our life in him. That's what it flows from. And if you just engage with activity without rooting into him and really knowing him and hearing him and learning from him, then you'll be in a very vulnerable place. And I am naturally an activist. I find it much easier to get on and do things. But I know, you know, and a lot of people have looked at me over the sabbatical and thought, how on earth are you going to manage? And the honest truth is I don't know because I've never done it before. But there is something significant about giving attention to not just about what's on top, but what's underneath. And over this season, we've got an opportunity to do that. Here's a few things that are particularly helpful in terms of rooting into Jesus properly. Live in his word. Verse 7, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. He's given us his word. Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, quoting the Old Testament. That we need his word. He feeds us, and his word is life to us. What does it mean to live in his word? Well, I would say just a few practical things. Dedicated daily time. So giving yourself, dedicating some time in a daily fashion to reading his word, that his word can feed you. And that might not be like, you know, you may hear someone standing at the front say, oh, well, do you know what? In the hour and a half I had this morning when, do you know what? For most people, it will not be like that. And if you're just starting out, please, I wouldn't suggest you try to do that. Just give yourself a little bit of time every day. Say, do you know what? I'm going to take some time to begin to feed on something if you haven't yet started and built that practice into your life. Give yourself to feeding on the Word of God, some dedicated daily time. To read. And then I also just say practically, think about it. You don't want to just go, right, I've done my 10 minutes this morning. Thanks very much. Closed. Whew, now get on with the day. Actually, whatever you've read, try and find ways of continuing to think about it and reflect on it. Talk about it. As you talk about it and you process stuff with other people, it lands more firmly in you. And then act on it. That's when it really comes exciting and begins to really lift you. Is when you don't just go, oh, I've read this. What do I do about it? How can I act on it? So if you read something, it's brilliant to ask the question, what can I do about it today? How can I act on this in some way? So live in his word. Secondly, live by his spirit. What a privilege it is to have been given his spirit living within us. And now we want to learn to live by his spirit and be led by his spirit. This is what Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 5:16. He says, so I say, walk by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. And if you've decided to fast a few things over this time, can I say, there's a few reasons why that's particularly good, but here's one of them. You're learning to kill the flesh, to say no to the flesh. And because the flesh has a pull, oh, go on, just have some of that. Just, oh, you want some of this, don't you? Go on, I'd have that. But you're learning to say no to the flesh and to live by the Spirit. In our society, we tend to just go, oh, I fancy a bit of this, I fancy a bit of that, I'll just do that, I'll just do that. That's not a particularly healthy way to live. And we learn to bring the flesh under the rule of the Spirit. And he goes on to say, talk about what some of the acts of the flesh are. But then verse 22, Paul says this, but the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of living by the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. That's the fruit of living by the Spirit. Learning to listen to the Spirit, not just to listen to our flesh. Not what does my flesh want to do, what does he want me to do? And as you keep trying to listen and respond, then that fruit grows. So live in his word, live by his Spirit, live with his people. The Bible has absolutely no concept of individual spirituality. I love doing this series in Ephesians. It's helping us understand who we are. And there's lots of yous, aren't there, in Ephesians? You know, as Paul tries to encourage us who we are. This is who you are. If we're not careful in our own individualistic society, we read that as you, me, personal. Actually, it's not written to an individual. It's written to us as the people of God. He's placed us in the body of Christ. How are we going to flourish? How are we going to experience life? By being properly related with others around us in the body of Christ. And that doesn't mean just sitting in a seat on a Sunday morning where there happens to be a few other hundred people sitting in the same place. It means engaging, having a real life relationships with other people, being placed in the body of Christ. Live in his word, live by his Spirit, live with his people, live in his love. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. And Claire talked about this a bit last Sunday, talked about being rooted in love. And then not just rooted in love, but actually growing in our understanding of how massive and amazing and incredible his love is for us. How bright, wide and high and deep and is his love, this love of Christ. He wants us to grow in this love. Why? Because it's the foundation for everything. When you know you're loved, everything changes. Certainly when you know you're loved by the God of the universe, everything changes. It's interesting, isn't it? When Jesus had before he fasted 40 days. What was that happened? In the sort of launch of his ministry, he's baptized, boom, and God the Father speaks. This is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased. One of the things that I felt God speak to me about my sabbatical was I was beginning to think, oh, I'd like to go and look at this model and this model. And I am going to look at what different churches are doing a bit. But I felt that there was something that was really important for me, that it wasn't just about, oh, what are other churches doing? It was actually about putting myself in context where I can catch the heart of the Father again. And my heart can touch his heart and be changed by him. That was what was really, really important in terms of being propelled into a new season of ministry, that he should say once more to me, this is my Son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased. That's the foundation for everything. And I know, when I really know and I'm really secure in his love, that I understand how loved I am by him, who I am in him, it changes everything. It changes the way I act and who I am. It's not just out because someone's told me to do this. It's actually because I so am caught up with his love and so secure in his love that I can't but fail to want to reach out. It's not just because it's my job to be a church leader. It's because he loves me. The last thing I want to do is just do something because it's a job. Live in his love. And finally, in terms of being rooted, live in prayer. If you came to Breathe on Wednesday, there's lots of great stuff that was set up, and I loved the creativity of it all. But what you first stepped through was this, I was going to say curtain. It was meant to be like a curtain. Anyway, was it a proper curtain? It was a curtain. My apologies. It was a curtain. And that had been torn. Boom. With that picture, literally, as you walk through into Breathe, here you go, you walk through this curtain. The way has been made open. The curtain has been torn in two. That we can now come into communion, into living relationship with him. We can live in constant communion with him. What an incredible privilege. And the very best way that I know to express that is in prayer, that we can just talk to our Father in heaven. We don't have to be the high priest who once a year can go into the Holy of Holies. No, now the way has been made open for us, every one of us, to step in to a living relationship with him. And I really, really pray that what we're not doing as a church family is somehow creating a context which says, I relate to God the Father through what someone preaches. And the only way I can get to God the Father is through other people. That's so far away. No. We have a direct access. There's access in for every single one of us to step in to a living relationship with him. Don't settle for anything less. Live in that living relationship with him. It's available to you. You can just talk to him because the curtain's been torn. He's paid the price. The way is open. There's direct access for us to enter in. Jesus said, didn't he, when he invited his disciples, he said, come follow me. Not an organization, but a person. We have direct access that we want to make the very most of. And you know, If I started down here with Helen, and I decided, you know what, instead of speaking my next point from there, I'm just going to tell Helen my next point, and then she can tell Sean, and then he can pass it on, and it goes right round, and we do Chinese whispers all the way along to the end, guess what will happen? Whoever's right at the back is going to get a very, very different version of what I started out with. You don't have to have a different version. You can go directly to the source. You can go straight to Jesus. And that's the privilege that each and every one of us has. So he wants us to be rooted and then very quickly pruned and fruitful. 15 verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And we've got a vague picture of pruning going on. Are there things that are getting in the way of our relationship with him? Are we ready to let him address things in our lives? What an opportunity over these 40 days to genuinely say to him, Lord, I'm here. I believe you want to prune. And I'm making everything I have and everything that I do available to you. I'm offering my life for you to come and do the work that you want to do. Or are we saying to him, this far and no further? I sat with someone a few weeks ago in Bangor, and I had to just challenge them about a particular area of their life that clearly wasn't aligned to God's ways. It was very obvious, and it was a very clear area, and it's like, look, the Bible says this very clearly, and so I just want to challenge you in that, because you're saying you want to be a follower of Jesus. Well, this is not consistent. And they said, well, but why focus on that? And why not just, you know, I'm doing all right in some other areas. And in some ways, it's doing that, that's great. Well, we want to celebrate where you're doing well, but do you know what? If you really say, I want to follow Jesus, you don't say, well, yeah, you can have these parts, but not those parts. What happened with the rich young ruler? The rich young ruler comes to him, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Jesus didn't go, oh, that's great, let's celebrate that. He goes, no. And it says he loved him. And because of his love, he said, this one thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he saw what the real issue was in his heart, what was holding him back and what he wanted to address. And because of his love for him, he couldn't let him live with that, but he wanted to prune it and deal with it. But what did the rich young ruler go? No, you can't have that. And he walked away. My prayer is that we'll be a people who will not say this far and no further, but we'll be a people who say, Lord, you love me. And because I know you love me, I'm ready to let you touch different areas of my life and speak into different areas in my life and prune different things. There may be sinful stuff that we need to repent of and leave behind. There may be idols that need to be torn down that have just become too important and taken a wrong place in our lives. Those of us that were at Game Changers, Salt and Light Leaders Conference fairly recently, Malcolm Duncan said a number of very pertinent things. One of the things he said is, I think the biggest idol in the church in the UK is family. It's like people go, yeah, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, but don't touch my family. And I'm not prepared to trust my family to you. And I'm first and foremost, I'm going to make sure my family are right, then I'll think about following you. And I was quite provoked by it. Because different things. It's not, family is incredibly important to him. It's not like we're not meant to go, take my family seriously. But our family is not meant to become our God. He is God. Fasting gives the opportunity to see if things have taken too big a place in our lives. One of the things that I've tried to set myself apart from over this time, and I've cheated slightly. Please excuse me, stroke us as a family. We started our 40 days early because at the start of our sabbatical, we're actually going on the sort of holiday we've never, ever had before. We're going to Turkey, and we've got 7 days, and it's an all-inclusive. So you can tell me I'm really failing, that we'd already paid for it, everything. And we felt like we would start early and finish early, if that's right. So we are doing 40 days, but we got on with it a little bit earlier. But one of the things, so I've had a bit longer to work out what's particularly challenging and hard, and one of the things I've tried to set myself apart from is just browsing the internet, because I just realized that it just became very easy for me. My main favorite pages are things like BBC Sport and the Oxford United Fans Forum and various things that would be of no interest to you, but are just there and are very easy for me to sort of look on, and the Altrincham Fans Forum. And then occasionally, I've always been quite interested in just looking at properties, and so the Right Move thing is there as well. And we're all different, aren't we? And so I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I will, for certain things which I need to find out, I will go straight to something to find it out. But I won't just browse the internet, and I need to set myself apart from that. Well, I have found it much harder than I thought I would, and I have found this battle going on, me trying to persuade myself, no, I need to find that out, and I need to find that out, really. And then, well, while I'm finding that out, do I just have a quick look at that? I wish I could say I've been absolutely, I think it's taken too big a place in my life. I've become a bit dependent on it. I found it much harder than I thought I would. Is Jesus the one we're depending on, or is it other things or other people? The other thing that Malcolm Duncan said while he was at this conference is he talked about how he'd lost 4 members of his family that were very, very close to him over the last 2 years in horrific circumstances. I mean, just he'd been through so much, and when he'd taken responsibility for leading the funeral and burying each one. And at the end of the 4th one, he just said to the Lord, I don't know if I can cope with much more of this. And he said this, the Holy Spirit whispered to him, he said, but you'll never bury your best friend. You'll never bury your best friend. And he reflected and thought, that's the truth. That's not a promise that I won't bury lots of other people who I'm very close to, but Jesus is my best friend. And I'll never bury him. He's the one who's at the very center of my life. And he provides what I need, despite whatever else may be taken from me. I sat there going, feeling quite provoked. In Matthew 4, Jesus tells the parable of the sower. And he explains it like this. Just at the end in verse 18, he says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, and he explained some of the previous seed that was sown. Hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And a few weeks ago, Mark and Sarah and Emma and I, who meet sometimes on a Friday morning when we don't fail, when I don't find myself in other contexts, we were looking at this passage and sharing, and each of us were really saying, do you know what? We think this is the big challenge for us. It's not that the word's not taking root in some way in our lives, but that other stuff is growing up around it and maybe choking it and making it unfruitful. And we have to address some of that wrong stuff, those weeds that need to be pulled up, that's desires for other things, all that stuff that can squash and choke the word and make it unfruitful. Because God's heart for us in this time is to take us deeper, is to prune us, is to deal with things, but it's so that we might be the fruitful people he always intended us to be. John 15 says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." And later on in that chapter in verse 16, he says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." This is about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc., etc., etc. But actually, it's about more than that. This is about people. People are important to God. And fruit that will last is people who encounter Jesus for themselves and find an eternal future of hope and life and love in Christ. And he's called us to be a fruitful people in the sense of sharing that living relationship that we have with him with other people. And he doesn't want other stuff to choke that. And he doesn't want other stuff to get in the way. He wants us to be a fruitful people. He said, when he invited the disciples to follow him, he said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." He'll do the changing. He's going to do something in us as we follow him, as we listen to him, as we learn from him. You can't change yourself. If you've read the devotional over this week, you'll have read the story of the feeding of the 5,000. The boy with his 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he came and gave what he had, the very ordinary stuff that he had. And God did something extraordinary with it. Psychologists tell us that most people only achieve 15% of their true potential. That's incredibly sad, isn't it? I want to encourage you. I want to encourage myself. Don't be a 15%er. Go to the Creator. Connect with him. Align yourself with him. And allow him to enable you to fulfill all of your potential. Personally and corporately, I believe there's more for me and us to step into. And over these 40 days, we've got an opportunity to allow ourselves to be rooted more deeply into him, to be pruned by him, knowing that he loves us, and to be prepared for fruitfulness. I'm going to ask the worship team if they'd like to come back up. And we're going to take the next half hour just to give ourselves to Jesus afresh, to thank him that he has made it possible for us not to come through any other people and things, but just through Jesus, that the way is made open, that we can have that living relationship with him. And maybe as we worship by his Spirit, he will speak to us personally in our own hearts, things he wants to take hold us to take hold of and root into, things maybe he wants us to let go of. Maybe there's some personal action for us to take. And as we worship as well, we've also set aside various tables so that we can give ourselves to, as it were, entering into that communion with him and celebrating what he's done for us and making that possible through taking communion together. And there's bread and drink that's here at the front on the right and then 2 tables at the back. So we're not going to suddenly say, "All right, this is the moment to come and take communion." We're just going to say that as we worship him and as we give ourselves to Jesus, an expression of our rooting into him and are celebrating what he's done for us is to take the bread and to drink the cup and to thank him for dying in our place. And if you've never ever lived in a relationship with him and you've never known him for yourself, do you know what? You can just ask him. And you can say to him today, "I want to know you personally. I believe that you died in my place so that there is a way that I can enter in. And I want to start a living relationship with you." And if you do that today, the best way of marking that and celebrating that is by breaking bread and thanking him for his body that was given for you and his blood that was poured out for you so that you can live in living relationship with him. Shall we stand if we're able? And Lord God, I pray right now that you would help each and every one of us to live in the good of all that you've done, that we might root ourselves afresh into the life that there is in you, that we might allow you to prune us, and that as your people, we would be a fruitful people to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.